your favorite astrology program, It's All in the Stars, with astrologer Hassan Jaffer. And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
And good evening, and welcome to It's All in the Stars, our astrology radio program. And I have a special pleasure today because a really dear friend of mine, Shervin, is on the line. He'll be my host today, at least for the first half an hour. And good evening, Shervin.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you? It's so nice to get you awesome.
Pleasure
to
be
have
here.
Knowledge about astrology also, so we'll have some good discussions. There are a lot of people, even though this is a call-in show where people call in to find out about themselves also, but I try to put as much of astrology itself, because it's archived, actually, people can go back and listen to it as well. And we'll discuss some really interesting charts. I always love to speak with you, since you have good knowledge of astrology also and really good groundwork too.
Oh, yes.
So, and we'll talk about quite a few things. The first thing which I want to talk about is, did you watch the Wimbledon today?
Actually, I didn't.
It was an amazing match, you know, because Federer was actually behind. He had lost two sets. Then it went on to five sets and lost by like 1 point. So it went on for like 5 hours almost, and it was absolutely amazing. But what's interesting is they're both born with a Mars-Jupiter aspect, like top athletes, and they were both getting a Jupiter aspect to Mars as well.
Oh,
so
wow.
They both had a real lucky aspect, except that Federer has Virgo rising. And he had Mars, Moon, Saturn, all three of them in his 12th house.
12th house, oh yeah.
And I think he did superbly well for somebody who's got three planets in the 12th house in Virgo at that time. You know,
yeah.
He didn't show that all the tiredness and all that you would expect.
Yeah,
we don't know
amazing.
The time of birth of Nadal, actually.
Yeah.
But he was also getting some good aspects. And Serena Williams and Venus Williams, I was watching the show, and as soon as I looked at the chart, I knew that Venus would win. Because she had Moon in Leo right on top of her chart. She was born with Moon in Leo, and Jupiter was touching off her Mars, and Mars was touching off Jupiter. Whereas in Serena's case, Saturn is at the very bottom. It's slowly moving up, and also Moon was at the bottom of the chart. So definitely, and in Venus's case, it was in the 11th house. Saturn is just going in the 12th house, so she has a few years, about maybe one more session or something. But Serena has a lot more publicity. I think she'll have more of the limelight theme. Maybe if it's not because of tennis, it also could be because of a business, because she has Mercury in Libra, etc., you know?
Okay, right.
So it could be because of that, yeah.
Right. Now, it's amazing to me how sometimes it really makes a difference. Some days people don't realize why they're feeling down. They've had their sleep and they've eaten well and still they feel run down. They don't know why. Other days,
exactly the 12th house, yes.
Like
this sociology professor at York University, he was saying, I said, it really bothers me that I can't figure out, like, what is it, this eternal cycle. And you know what's interesting is, it actually rained, so they had to hold it for about 20 minutes or half an hour.
Right.
And that's another moon in Virgo, remember?
Okay.
And we wrote that in October 89, that every time moon goes in Virgo or Pisces, there's always likely to rain and all that. And
right.
It actually rained too. I mean, those cycles are so amazing, that the moon cycle.
Yeah.
So do you also find that every time it goes in a 12th house, you start feeling run down and tired and all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got the whole thing memorized. I always know where moon is.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it should be.
Almost down to the exact degree.
That's right. And you know, not many astrologers in the world are like that. Do you know that? Very few people know that. Most astrology, they wouldn't even know that. But I found some really interesting. Last night I was up till 5 o'clock in the morning, doing Obama's chart and Hillary Clinton's chart. Actually, Hillary's chart took a long time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I find it when they have a lot of Scorpio planets, it can be so draining anyways.
Right.
So I found that, in his case, of course, it's Aquarius rising, as you know.
Yeah.
At first, we thought it was Scorpio rising all the but it's Aquarius rising. I was never comfortable with Scorpio rising, actually.
Yeah.
But he is sort of cool and aloof type and is very, very sensitive underneath. Very humanitarian.
Yeah.
And he has Venus in Cancer in the 5th house, which is fantastic for children, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like a father to everybody. And I think he will give her the project, not just for health, but for the welfare of children and the senior citizens, or some element of that nature, because she's born with Moon in Pisces.
Right.
And yeah. Let me get the chart, the
one
that I did.
There's some passion there.
You know, there were two different ascendants for her. One was a Scorpio rising, and one was Gemini rising.
Right.
They were saying either 8 a.m. or 8 p.m.
And oh, yeah. Noah's Madonna, same problem, the a.m. p.m. thing. You know.
Right, but the thing is, see, because she is herself a Scorpio with so many Scorpio planets, it's quite possible that people would mistake her for having Scorpio rising. Because she's kind of like a stellium in Scorpio anyways.
Right.
But Gemini rising, she's not fickle enough. So I changed it slightly and made it Taurus rising, and everything fits in a chart.
Wow.
Because, you know, if you look at her throat, you know, there's a, it's almost like, I shouldn't say lumpy, you know, but there's a meaty aspect about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like a jawline and throat that you can see with that Taurus rising. And she has a certain stocky element about her also.
She does. She is. And she's stubborn and she's very, you know, she has, when she gets mad, she really loses, you know, gets mad.
Yeah. Combined with all things. Now, when you put Taurus rising, like 29 degrees Taurus, that puts Neptune in the fifth house. If it's 27 degrees, Neptune is now in the fifth house. Neptune in the fifth house would indicate also Pisces' daughter. Because Chelsea is Pisces. And when she, and she had Mars, Pluto, Saturn, stellium in Leo. Now that this was a difficult one to figure out where it could be, because she's never had any accidents and all that. So it's not in the third house, and that's what discounts either Scorpio or Gemini rising, because third and ninth are not there. But the fourth house, there were a lot of fights at home. Apparently, there were a lot of shouting matches at home. That's one aspect. When Chelsea was born, Saturn would have been in her fifth house, which is a restriction because of children, and also Jupiter was there, which is one of the luckiest aspects to have children.
Okay.
So that, and I think she'll be quite a humanitarian person, actually, Chelsea. And that was Jupiter in Sagittarius in her seventh house. And when she met Bill Clinton, Jupiter was actually in her seventh house at Yale University.
Perfect.
You know, she met somebody who has philosophical leanings, who is also into law, and she met her future husband. And also, throughout this year, with Taurus rising, she would have had Jupiter in her eighth house. And what has she done? She's been able to raise millions of dollars.
Right.
The first time in her life that she's been able to raise so much money.
Yeah.
It's exactly Jupiter in the eighth.
Right.
So next, we are coming to the preacher stage, of course, from end of this year throughout next year, she'll be probably becoming like a preacher.
Traveling more, too, probably.
And this also puts Moon in Pisces in her 11th house. Which is definitely, you know, she's quite, she does all the humanitarian work and the welfare of the people and the children and old people and all. And that also puts Scorpio and Sagittarius in the seventh house cusp. So her enemies, the secret enemies, know that all will be related to other work or somehow to her husband. Or people who dislike her husband, it will reflect on her. Although I personally think she got a lot of votes because of him also. And when the Monica Lewinsky, when that affair broke out, when she came to know about it, Moon was in Aries, last degree, about 29 Aries, in her 12th house.
Undermining her interest, right.
Yeah, when she found out about her husband, that was 13th of August of 1998. So what do you think? I think it's it seems right. You have that Pisces, Taurus rising?
That's very interesting. It seems like, once again, you figured out an ascendant that nobody else knew.
Because I don't think it's... And Noel Till, you know... Actually, the reason I started going to that, because Noel Till, you know, on his... He's got a blog, noeltill.com or something, on that one. A lot of people are writing about the time of birth. And what he wrote in that one, well, it's been decided that it is Scorpio rising. She's definitely... All the events have been taken up and all that, but without any reasoning whatsoever.
Right.
And he's got a Mercury Neptune square, so I've never really cared for this aspect. Actually, we've corresponded together, you know, like the logic goes up at a tangent.
Uh-huh.
But they don't give any reasoning why, or they go into nodes and progressions and all that. But Taurus rising, everything makes sense, because Saturn would have been down in her chart in her fourth house, just moving up. She's got lots of time, of course, and with Saturn moving up, coming into her fifth house now, it's just moving up. But Jupiter in the eighth house, which makes sense, she was able to raise a lot of money, and $22 million now Obama will give to her to clear that debt also. So that's all that eighth house theme.
Right.
And but she has a lot of time ahead, of course, you know, that for later on also. But I have a feeling that there's some sadness coming in her life, you know, end of this year, throughout next year. There's a major sadness aspect coming up.
And, why?
Mainly because of the, you see, first of all, Saturn touching off her moon, right, till next year.
Oh, yeah, right.
And also, next year, Saturn touches off Mars in Bill Clinton's chart, which is an aspect of heart and kidneys.
Okay.
So next summer, for about 1 year, is a dangerous aspect for him. And Pluto, if we are correct about Taurus rising, then she has 29 degrees Scorpio Sagittarius in the 7th house. And Pluto is just leaving that degree. And the last degrees are always the most critical. So if there's a health issue with the husband, that would be part of Pluto also.
Mm-hmm.
So Pluto being in the and throughout these themes, she went through that Pluto in the 7th house transiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from 95, it would have been there, actually. And by November of this year, it's leaving. Now, another theme that's happening in the world...
You remember
we made a prediction a long time ago, Shubham, when we were discussing about Pluto being in Sagittarius, with the mass communication and transportation, but also that events relate to the universe and any aspect of this... all the planets and generally about the universe itself, we'll know more about the galaxies and all that.
Right.
And if we are to know about the aliens or anything, it would be before November of 2008.
Oh, gosh, I hope we have more time than that, though, really.
I know, but remember, but the major thing, what happened, two things have happened. First of all, on UFOs, they're openly discussing so much about all the Air Force colonels and all they are discussing.
Yep.
So it's come up much more this year, actually.
It has.
And, because the last thing is always the most critical. Because Pluto went briefly into Capricorn, which was our next prediction, which was the geological revolution. All the free energy and global warming and all these things coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so in June, mid-June, it went back into Sagittarius till about end of November.
That's right.
So it's the last degree, and there's a major event that is happening right now, which is in Switzerland. Yeah, you know about that one, yeah? Where they are trying to find out this, they're going to spin this, LHC, it's called the Large Hadron Collider at CERN in Switzerland that they're making. And it's just about to start. There'll be about like, I think 5,000 or 20,000 of these scientists observing that, and it's like a 27 kilometers at almost like absolute zero. They're going to freeze the whole thing, and they'll bombard these particles in this collider, and they'll speed it up by these electromagnets, and to the speed of light, to very close to the speed of light, and to see what happened at the origin of the universe. And if that's not Pluto and Sagittarius, can you imagine?
You don't know what is.
Yeah.
But in terms of aliens and things like that, I mean, are you saying that if we don't discover anything by November,
I think we've already initiated now. Once the main thing is started, that's the most important. Just like Jupiter goes to the 8th house and you get the money. Many people ask me, for example, and when will it finish? And I tell them, I say, you know, at a certain point, it doesn't matter anymore. Almost, you know, like the main theme is done. Then you go to the next level.
But with Neptune being
in Aquarius, like all this analog and digital aspect, the wave particle theories, every aspect is fixing along with that Pluto and Sagittarius. That's a major thing, once in 246 years. And once it does, then the next aspect will go into Capricorn, for example, and the concrete aspect, the productive aspect of it. But the whole religion and all that, I don't think they're going to find much answers in that. I'm 100% positive they won't find the origin of the universe. They'll make all kinds of hypotheses and all that. I think they're being too sure in this aspect. They'll create tiny black holes and all that, as if they'll understand the whole universe, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they're meant to, you know.
I know. But,
think that the aliens, that once it's, now that it's initiated, we could still discover things a few years
ago. Well, absolutely. But I think we've made the major, this is, for example, even, landing on Mars is the first time they may have life on it, they're saying, for example. And the aliens, I mean, for the first time, I could see that there's certain things, because I've always suspected that Russia and America, they've had things which look very much like the UFOs. It's quite possible for them to make it themselves also.
Right.
But they were guarding it very seriously. Now they didn't want to show this technology, like the EMF technology or anti-gravity or electromagnetic forces, which is all coinciding with Pluto coming into Capricorn, where they'll have the free energy and Tesla's things coming up, for example.
Right.
And so I think it's a very important aspect of all this, very fast transportation and all kinds of these topics by November 2008. We've got a lot of time still on that, you know.
You're saying, oh, right. Right. And a lot of things, I guess, will be commercialized once it goes into Capricorn, right?
That's right. Exactly, yeah.
Right.
You'll have synthetic diamonds, and you'll have all the laws against the casual abortion, and the global warming will become quite critical, probably. And marriage will become like a business partnership, which is already starting, probably. I just hope they don't redefine it. Daycare centers at work. So all those Capricorn things, working mothers. And but the most dangerous aspect is the artificial earthquakes and the climate change that they create themselves.
Right.
And corporate religion and ozone level
abortion,
becoming critical.
You said abortion will be outlawed?
No, I don't think. I think there's a certain conservative aspect, but it's a very dry aspect, as you know. Like, you know, when they had the Roe versus Wade, Moon was in Capricorn that day. It's exactly opposite to Cancer, and that's when I decided. And the lady who was in it, I think her name was, there was a Christian lady, and she was, somehow convinced her, all the feminists, when they passed this thing, a week later or something, she wanted to go back, and they never allowed her, and she actually works for an anti-abortion thing right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I saw all her statements on the Christian side, that they never let her go back in there. So. But also, but the most important thing is they were talking about world government. This is exactly opposite to the world government.
One world government thing, you know.
This is exactly opposite to that, what's going to happen.
It's going to be opposite?
When Pluto was in Scorpio, it actually undermined the mafia everywhere in Colombia, even here, everywhere.
Right.
And even in New York, everywhere, and Gotti and all these people are arrested. And the same thing with Capricorn theme, it undermines that aspect.
So you're saying that we won't have a one-world government?
Not at all.
Not.
It'll completely decentralize the whole government, exactly what Obama is trying to do. Like, he's raised $270 million by $5, $20, $50 thing from general public, and just from this grassroots thing on the Internet.
Right.
As opposed to all these corporate mergers and huge things, for example. So it'll actually undermine that aspect. The only thing which I'm... You know, it's really interesting that in America we've had so many disasters with all these tornadoes and all these things. All the Uranus and Pisces predictions that we've made seem to be focused only in America. The tornadoes, the hurricanes, the storms, and it's coming up, it seems, you know?
Right.
Which is still 2012. Right. That seems to continue.
Yeah. But Asia's had quite a bit of upset in that area, too, right?
The what?
Asia. And, you know, I mean,
had, yes, you're right. They have. By the way, I'd also said the 60s age group, which is the Ahmadinejad age group, there was a danger because that whole age group and Iran's timing is very similar. Iran has, in the new chart, they have a lot of Aquarius planets. That's not just satellites and all that. But the Scorpio theme, that 60s age group, there was a critical aspect the last 4 or 5 weeks, which is just almost finishing now. But the next danger is October. And I believe that that's when they will really try their best. I don't think they'll be successful, but they'll definitely try their best to do something. And Obama's chart also shows a bit of a nightmare theme at that time. They'll try to come up with all kinds of scandals and all kinds of themes.
So
October's only, and just before the election, when they feel that they are not winning, so they might try to do something. I just hope they don't. But when Mars is Scorpio, so sort of a violent aspect, as you know.
Yeah.
And it'll be touching off that Neptune also around that time. But as long as they don't have, like, even the dyeballs, you know, electronic machines and all that, all kinds of fraud that goes on, because he's actually set for a landslide, Obama.
He is, yeah.
Because in McCain's case, the planets are coming down now. They're going into his 12th house and touching off his Neptune.
Right.
And with
what's his rising sign?
His rising sign is Libra, actually. That's how it goes along with... Both the USA and Israel, they both have Libra rising.
That's right.
Yeah, and so the Libra Scorpio team, and with Saturn going in his 12th house, touching off his Neptune, which is a very, very stressful aspect for 1 year, actually. The only good thing he has going for him, you could say, is that Jupiter is moving towards his... it won't be on his fourth... it will be going in his fourth house, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it will be just in his fourth house, which happened in Bush's case. And even though we felt that he's not going to win, we couldn't understand why. But because when they, of course, we don't take the rigging into consideration, all that. But he did move it to a bigger place, that part, you know. But that could be moving to a ranch and all that. But I think the next 2 years are very critical for his health, actually, John McCain. I don't think they're the best for his health, also. It's like when people tend to wind down. He's got nothing above the horizon except Saturn in the 12th house.
Obama has everything going up. You mean his natal chart?
No, by transit.
By transit, okay.
Yeah. Because his chart is real, like a dictator's chart.
Right.
And he's got that Pluto right on top of the chart.
Right.
And to me, you see, getting shot down and being in prison for 5 years and giving the condescending statements in Vietnam TV, for example, I don't know how that makes a person qualify as them to become a hero, but I don't know. He doesn't march in Leo. It's more, he's been a very successful military commander, not
right.
a president. Because he does have Mars in Leo right on top of the 10th house. And Gokhale's research did say that some of the best commanders, and all, they do have, in generals, they do have Mars right on top.
Right.
But
right.
It's like General Schwarzkopf wanting to become a president. I mean, it's not a military dictatorship we want now. Pluto and Mars, both of them, of course. I mean, that's not a very positive aspect. There is no comparison when it comes to diplomacy. I mean, the way Obama speaks, I mean, it's like the best of John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King.
Exactly. Right.
But he also has a Moon Pluto square, which is a destruction of the families and homes. But hopefully, he'll actually look after those who are downtrodden.
Yeah.
But I think he might go to Afghanistan more, which is also again for the Caspian oil and everything. So that does make it. But it's very interesting. Like, you know, the last degrees of the Sagittarius theme, right from. All this, you know, the religious fervor that they'll try to bring up in the religion is
right.
The last degree of that Pluto being in Sagittarius. And leaves exactly in November, right after the election, goes into Capricorn. Dismantling of the big business.
Right.
It's really interesting. People would have thought that, you know, many astrologers were saying that all the corporate aspects would become really powerful. That's a Pluto. But Pluto is exactly opposite, I found. I was looking at some people, their reasoning. They were saying that somebody has a Mercury-Neptune opposition, for example, that they're very clear thinkers. I could not believe how could they write that, you know. That's a foggy aspect of thinking.
Right. So Pluto then, it transforms. So if it's in Capricorn, you're saying the astrologers were saying that the corporations will get more powerful, but you're saying they won't.
No. It actually undermines that. It also harnesses Earth's energy. The natural forces, the electromagnetism, all the natural forces, etc., which I do believe they have to do with the UFOs and all that also, or that anti-gravity or any.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a tremendous force, so I'm sure they will figure that out.
Because I got to tell you, I don't believe that in 1948, 47, when they said they had these crashes of the UFOs,
Geraldo.
I don't believe at that time any human government or any human, I didn't think we had the technology for anti-gravity. Certainly not at that time.
No, we definitely
have it now.
That's true.
So I do believe they exist.
But they did make something like a UFO. In the Air Force, they did have a round one. Because they
did, but it could never change direction
quickly.
You know?
No, definitely there was something there. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, for sure. And now, of course, as we are becoming, I think it's just with the internet they cannot hold it back either. So many Air Force people have come up, and so many people, you know, they cannot. So I'm sure it'll be quite obvious. Did you see Barack Obama's birth certificate?
I actually did look at it online. Yes.
Yeah,
there's something on Yahoo about it, and I looked it up, and I noticed, I right away looked up the time, and I realized he's Aquarius rising. I was going to let you know, I totally forgot.
Yeah, and I think he's got Leo in his 7th house, so, you know, he is very proud of his wife, Michelle.
Yeah.
And she has Mercury in Capricorn, so she has a mind of her own.
Hmm.
It's a bit dry, she can be quite assertive, actually. But once people know her, she can be a bit bossy, but when people know her, then they realize, you know, that she's quite a down-to-earth person.
Right.
I'm sure she got from Princeton and Harvard, but I don't think it's just. I think you see, to them, the Mercury in Capricorn, there's a certain, you know, they feel whatever is necessary to get what they want in life. It's more of that aspect rather than just the knowledge part. The more the practicality of it, but if they feel that degrees are needed, then you have a string of degrees with them.
Right.
But he's got that Mercury-Neptune square also. Like a Mensa people, but once the emotions get involved, all the good sense and logic goes completely out the window. But he's becoming, actually some of the best politicians are born with that, Mercury-Neptune, including Ahmadinejad, by the way. If you ever hear any of his speeches, and they're really fantastic, he's very, very articulate. But, I mean, they try to distort it a lot. But the Mercury-Neptune aspect, and so does Putin. Emily Jad. But the only thing you see when they cannot trust the right people, there is that wild imagination or trusting the wrong people, for example. So there is that the lapse in judgment you'll have to be careful of.
Right.
But I do not think that Hillary Clinton is coming as a vice president, definitely not.
Right.
Yeah. But we'll see soon. On my website, by the way, you know, the astrofriends.net.
Yeah.
I'm introducing quite a few different things. There's my astrolove.net. We made up a site where anybody can join it free right now. And it'll show their chart. They'll also see the interpretation right away. And also, they'll be able to, very soon, they'll be able to compare their own chart with another person or an event. They'll be able to pull down for any actor along with themselves, for example. And it'll show the whole synastry as you mouse over.
So I could see how compatible I am with Michelle Pfeiffer, for instance.
Absolutely, yes. Right away, you'll be able to see this thing, yes. And it's so interesting, this thing. It's a very, very interesting one. And all the interpretations, everything. And I made up a slider, actually, that you can just have for the day, for the month, for the year.
Right.
So it's quite an interesting one, yeah. And, Shevin, I'm so happy that you are, that I was able to get you on the line. And we'll try to have Shevin more often, because I love to speak to someone who's really knowledgeable about astrology and who truly understands it. And the truth is very, very simple. So, you know, Shevin, our knowledge, you and I, we both are like that. You know, like you immediately zero in on the actual event. Like when I say something, you immediately understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Without having, like, for example, Saturn in Sagittarius. When that happened, I was on this transatlantic flight, and I thought about it that Sagittarius kind of gambling a stock market, and it's like a crash.
Right.
So I checked my ephemeris for 1929 October, and sure enough, Saturn was
in
Sagittarius.
That's where it was.
Just that one aspect, last degrees of it. But I also thought that just before that, we'll probably have an evangelical scandal. So I wrote that in my newsletter, and we did. Jim Baker thing broke out before the stock market.
Right.
About just a few months before that aspect.
And that's coming up when, 2014, or when is that?
17.
17,
yeah, 2017, that's coming up, yeah.
Right.
And all the reports that we do, by the way, you know, our 12-month forecast and all that, they'll all be online. Right now, we send it from here, actually. But these two, three sites are very important. We also made up a celeb site, the celebrity, which will be part of that myastrolove.net. You will compare yourself with any celebrity, any actor. I was thinking of adding scientists and all these other people also.
Oh,
and
okay.
To have a pull down where you'll be able to select whether you want actors and that, you know. But I want to ask you one thing, Shevin, since you're so much into all this acting and all that also.
Yeah.
That, you know, they say in the class and all that, they say that you should show your emotions, I guess, right?
Well, it's actually Milton. I study at the Beverly Hills Playhouse, and Milton Catullus' teaching is a little bit different. And he believes certainly the audience has to pick up on your emotions, but, you know, it's the old thing about, you know, people, actors try to cry, but people try not to cry. So, you know, sometimes actors will overindulge and they try to, you know, oh, this is so sad and I got to cry, whereas in reality, a person in that situation may actually
try to hold
back to you.
But what I found, Shevin, that most of the best actors had a moon Saturn aspect,
right?
And they could not show the emotion on the outside. Like if you see Brad Pitt, he hardly smiles. Angelina Jolie hardly smiles. Marlon Brando, Elvis Presley, like all these people, they did not show the emotion on the outside at all.
Right.
And of course, Marlon Brando was such a good actor, and also which accounts to a lot of actors being depressed. But it's also moon Saturn theme.
Right.
So astrologically, it was exactly opposite. That they don't have any emotions, and that's why they're able to play the dark comedy very well.
Yeah. I find I always have trouble. It's so much easier for me to play killers and villains. So much easier. You put me in a romantic lead, and I'm just, like, scouring. It's tough. It's really hard for me. If you want me to play killer, murderer, rapist, it's like, for some reason, I can do that much easier. And also, there's the whole humor, sarcasm.
You're
doing
too much of yourself.
What's that? I just perjured myself.
That's all that Freudian apps are coming out now. You're supposed
but I
got to
say, and villains are more fun anyway for me. So, I mean,
actually,
I don't have the moon Saturn aspect.
I find that women, female actors, you know, they love, most of them, their first role, you tell them to become a hooker or some role like that, and they all love that. I know. Maybe something deep down. has an aspect too.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the Moon Saturn aspect, but I am always accused of not smiling enough, and people are, you know, and sometimes I'm having a good time, and my friends will be like, "Why don't you have a good time? Smile." And I'm like, "I am having a good time. What do you want from me? You want a clown smile? I mean, I'm doing fine. Leave me alone." You know?
But Shirley, remember I told you at some point you're going to be, you know, all around the world will be on with your Mercury in the ninth house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're Mercury in the ninth house. That's like, that's fantastic aspect for astrology. It's natural. By the way, many people think Aquarius is a sign for astrology. To me, it's Mercury in Sagittarius. There's nothing like it. Because Aquarius is just the means. It's like using the internet or using a computer or the program. But the soul, the heart of the system, the whole philosophy, the whole profound aspect of the cosmic consciousness, there's no other sign than Sagittarius to me.
Would you say that maybe astronomy is more the department of Aquarius?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Exactly, that's all the tools and all that. It doesn't have that. It's too rational, too theoretical.
Right.
And there has to be that God, the true awareness of or a love of God in astrology. Anybody who becomes a really good astrologer, I mean, this program is not made by us. Whoever made that, I mean, 5,000 years ago, how could they understand that Aries and Taurus are opposite signs, but Aries and Libra are also opposite to each other? And every sign has like that.
Yeah,
it is so difficult to even think of a one little rule in astrology.
And you said that Noah and Moses used astrology, right?
I'm sorry?
You said that Moses and Noah used astrology as well.
Oh, yes. Many of the prophets, in fact. And to me, whoever found this astrology, they must have been the greatest prophets. A lot of prophets were known for these themes. Like when you see the writings, you can see along with that a lot.
Right.
And by the way, I've also color-coded my, you know, in my mayasforlove.net, when you put in, the only thing we're still doing is ascendant, because the time zone, the time shift, we are still doing that. I've got 2.2 million cities there. So once that is done, then the ascendant will also be correct, and to that number, we're getting there. We've got a 6,000-year ephemeris, actually. We're using about 200 years here, but I've got the heart of the system done now. And completely accurate, we're not dependent on anybody else. So in any way that we want, all the research, even our VIP, for example, you know, in our calendar, people can put their feedback, all the events that happen, and I can instantly see an astral report of where the planets were without putting a single thing on. I don't have to put any data at all. Every event that they put in, I can see it. I can sort it in any order that I want instantly.
Very nice.
Can you imagine what a powerful tool? So I'll send you these links also, so we can... So on your computer, you can also see what's going on.
Excellent. It's
interesting, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the site is really expanding. I notice I check it out every once a month or so. And I know your world predictions just got updated. So
I just did Obama and Hillary. I just did, but again, I put Serena Williams and also, so I'm doing a lot. I also started a blog. It's called astrotrends.net/HJ360.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you should start one, SS360 or something, or SF360.
Yeah, actually, I kind of injured my hand, my tendon in my hand, so I've been out of commission for a month. But
your whole age
really
is going through that, isn't it? You have Neptune in Sagittarius, I believe, right?
Yeah, Neptune in Sag, and it just so happened. It was a minor thing. I ignored it. I kept doing push-ups. I went to work. And then all of a sudden, it got really bad a few weeks ago, and I haven't been able to work. I just my left hand is out of commission for now. I mean, it's much better, but you know. And so they were saying, you know, get the cortisone. And I know Mars Neptune coming up. I definitely don't want any of that. So
no, that's right. You want to
avoid
that
all that
for sure.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, but I haven't been typing as much. But the good thing is I got the voice recognition thing going on my computer, so I dictate things. Yeah, and it's getting better, more accurate. So I think that's the way of the future, you know?
Yeah.
Talking
the first
to the computer.
Of next year are fantastic, by the way.
What's that?
With Jupiter moving into Aquarius, that's when we'll have the latest gadgets and all the new things, which you can bend the computers, you can do all these new things will be coming up.
Right.
I think it'll be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm just having a quick look at your chart. Your Mars Neptune is exact.
It's
on the 11th of July.
On which day?
11th of July.
11th, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So just
I'm just going to ride the next 2 weeks out, you know, take it easy and don't, I don't want
to... So all your whole age group has to be careful of that. Everybody who's born in the 70s, Britney Spears will get it after that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, you know, like Keith Ledger, when he passed away, he had the Mars Neptune.
And oh,
so did Britney,
yeah.
And she was accusing her mom of having affairs with a boyfriend and all that, you know. She she was getting for 6 months.
Right.
You guys are only
right.
getting for 1 week. So all the 70s age group, the immune system of the body, they'll have to be careful of. And then
I remember you told me from 5 degrees before, 4 degrees after, right? That's what I always
It's
just
a very individual thing, though, you know, Shervin. Like, you'll have to see yourself.
Oh.
Like, when you start feeling run down, and along with the moon, for example, if you take that into consideration. Like, I found, for example, Mars, Jupiter, in my case, happens at least 4 degrees before it starts. They normally take only 1 degree or something.
Oh, really?
I always found it was quite much earlier than that. But the Mars Neptune, you definitely have to be, I mean, that one, like, for example, in your case, you have a very active nervous system because you're such a fast thinker.
Yeah.
And,
so you would say 4 degrees before or 5 degrees before?
At least, yeah. Well, start noticing it from as you start, so you can start putting it. I'm going to put you on our VIP also, by the way. When you go to astrotrends.net/VIP,
I'm going to put
you on that. And I really, really want you to start putting all the events in there. And then when you put Astro Report, you will see all where the planets were instantly.
Right.
And you'll be able to sort out all the planets by the moon position or Mars, whichever one you want, instantly. You'll absolutely love it. There's nothing like it in the world.
Very nice. Very nice. You should that's great, because then people can even access that from their iPhones, you know? I mean...
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Rather than
that's
right
exactly
now...
That's exactly what you're getting to now.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, we'll also discuss, you know, one of your favorite topics, all the movies also, what kind of movies are coming on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, when Neptune was in Sagittarius. See, yours is the most philosophical age group. The first psychic fairs were held in 72 or so. Now it's become like psychic zoo. But that Neptune in Sagittarius, there's no generation more philosophical than your generation.
Right.
It's like mine is a very romantic generation, yours is a very philosophical generation. Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, they're all from that age group.
Oh, wow.
Quite, you can see those humanitarian ideals.
I'm excited because the internet is kind of leveling the playing field a little bit. So for the little guys like me trying to come up in acting, you know, as long as we have a product, we can put it out on the internet and get attention. You know,
absolutely. I'm still waiting for your script. Actually, I think you've got some fantastic script. One person who would be fantastic for the script is Dawn, the one who just called from the studio.
Oh, yes.
If you go to bbsradio.com, you'll see a lot of alien things.
Oh,
he's very much into that, actually. All the Roswell thing, you'll find everything about it. He's got amazing, amazing stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
On that.
But I've written a few things we're going to shoot, and I'm excited about that because the casting directors is less power. They have too much power as it is now, and some of that power is taken away.
But without anything. I mean, you have Spielberg, Mercury, and Sagittarius, both you and I.
Yeah.
So we won't have to depend on other people very soon.
Right.
This
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Well, it was so nice, Shervin, to have you on the thing.
Thank you.
We hope to have you more. And every Sunday we have the same for California. Time is 5 to 6.
Right.
I know you've got some important meetings and you're acting all these things right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thank you.
It was
very
a pleasure.
Much.
It was a lot of fun, and I hope to do it again.
Yes, and we'll be archived, so we'll be able to go back and. Isn't it also? And every time you come up with something, because you have some really, really good insight, it makes me feel so good, you know? Any questions you ask, for example, about the different astrological aspects? And by the way, just one last thing. In myastrolove.net, we've got these signs in 4 different colors. So the earth, fire, air, and water.
Okay.
Those 4 colors. And so people will be able to see instantly whether Mercury is compatible or Venus is compatible, etc.
Right. Right.
Thank you very much, Shiv.
Thank you, Hassan. It was a pleasure. And thanks, Don. And take care. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Well, Shervin is a really, really good friend of mine, and he's very much into astrology. He's one of those people who's totally multitasking. He picks up things very fast, right from computers to... He's a real Mac. I remember because of him, I got my first Mac originally, I think. And Hello?
Hello?
Good evening. You're on the line.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry?
I cannot hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
No.
Okay. So you were born in December or what?
December the 23rd, 1938.
Okay. Just give me one sec. Did you listen to our show at all?
I listened to the first part of it.
I'm sorry?
I listened to it the first
time.
Oh,
I see. Okay. I had a really good friend of mine, Shivan, on the line, actually. He'll be coming out more. He'll be hosting more. He's very much into astrology also. You have, actually, your chart is, you know, it's interesting, your chart is almost identical to my host who just left and you called. You didn't hear him, I guess, yeah?
What did you say?
No, I said the person who was my host, actually, he just left and you called, and his chart is very similar to you. He also has Pisces rising with Mercury in Sagittarius in the ninth house, which makes you very philosophical, and you'll be near the ocean, near the water. That water does something to your soul. Later on this year, from about July, August till about December, is a fantastic time for property matters, for buying or selling a property, or if you want to get some equity from it and buy another property, for example. There's a lot of public response coming in your chart. And you'll start meeting a lot of people. You'll make some very, very good contacts this year. And you see what's happening is planets are moving up in your chart. So you are going to become more and more involved with the public. And it may appear a bit hard right now financially, etc., or that you're tied down. But just hold on for just a little bit longer, because you have that Saturn moving up in your chart. It's a bit stressful for your whole age group from about this summer to about next summer. You know, when you feel insecure and phobias and what have I done in my life and how much I wasted. And end of July and beginning of August, that's time you'll have to be very careful of your immune system of the body when you feel run down and tired, when you feel like kind of blues. Well, luckily, you're a very optimistic person. And you have a really nice wisdom element in your chart. But if you're not doing your mission, then you'll have all kinds of hassles in life, which will force you in the right direction. Because you're supposed to be out with the public and giving lectures and workshops and seminars. And it's like a good preacher's chart. Very, very intense also at the same time. Like you have a bit of a reclusive side to you as well. Very private in love matters. Does that make sense at all?
Yes.
I can't hear you at all, I'm sorry.
Yes, it does.
Oh, yeah. What kind of work have you done before, by the way?
It doesn't matter.
Or is there any question that you had?
Yes. What do you see immediately in my chart for this month?
Well, about 3-4 weeks. Actually, even this coming week is very positive for you, except for tomorrow, like tonight, and just tomorrow, you might feel a bit sad because you have Moon touching off your Neptune. But right after that, it starts moving up. So by, I would say, by Tuesday or Wednesday, this is a very lucky week for you. So you should really be out there. You should not be just resting and taking it easy right now. The coming week is very positive for you, financially speaking. Like you have really good opportunities coming up, you know. If you go on my website, there's a Moon's Transits there. And if you go there, you have a computer, I'm hoping, yeah?
Yes.
If you go to astrotrends.net, and there's this Moon's Transits, it says, and when you go in there, click on the key to Moon's Transits and print that out, because that applies to you every month. And that shows you when Moon is in the first house, second house, what it means. And there's another one for July, a table. And in that column, the column that applies to you is actually the ninth column. So it's the I column that applies to you. And in that column, whatever number you see, you just read the interpretation. And you'll find that when it's number 8, that means Moon is in the 8th house, you'll always have money at that time. It's one of the best times financially. And when it's number 12, you feel very run down and tired. So this cycle is that 12 to 4, you should keep a low profile, and 5 to 11 is when you should push yourself out in the public. And we also have, by the way, if you know your time, birth and all that too, we have a 12-month forecast as well, and that gives you the exact dates, when is the best time to do what. That's a very, very important one. Okay, my dear, so start thinking how you can make a difference in the life of the masses 100 years from now, in 6 different languages. Because you are born with this Mercury-Pluto, it's a very rare aspect. This is like a real wisdom element in your chart, you know?
And
it's a Mercury-Saturn, which makes you rather cautious and deliberate, speaking. Okay, my dear, thank you very much. lady has a Mercury Saturn aspect, and it's almost like a bit like Mercury in Capricorn. It gives her more focus, even though she's multitasking, but it can make a person a bit more, as I said, very hesitant and cautious aspect. And hello, you're on the line.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Well,
another call from Florida, what?
Well, I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you, but I'm going to work my way through it.
Okay. I don't know what's the thing with the telephone thing, so they still have... I'm on a landline, actually, with the studio. They're still having a bit of fun with that.
Okay.
What is your birthday?
Well, actually, I'm hoping you might be able to help me out with a couple of other birthdays. You and I have actually met a couple of times, and I've decided to take up astrology.
Are you a Libra or something, or what?
No, I'm not part of the media at all.
No, Libra. Virgo Libra, or what? I'm trying to remember. I'm remembering a client of mine. I'm sorry. What's the birth date?
Well, my birthday. I'll tell you what. My birthday is March 14, 1962.
March 14, 1962. 62. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2?
62.
Same as Obama.
Year.
Same year.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. We have met in Toronto?
Yes, we did, at the Psychic Mystics and Seers Fair. Actually, we've met there a couple of times.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and...
You have a brilliant mind. I must have said that you have quite a brilliant mind. And what do you do, by the way?
I'm sorry, I'm still having a little bit of difficulty here.
Like, what kind of work did you do?
At the time, I was in the IT industry.
In the what?
In the computer industry. For several years, actually.
You have that Mercury in Aquarius, like Edison was born with that. And also Jules Verne, who wrote about Journey to the Moon way before his time. Apple's Steve Jobs was also born with that. You're basically a conceptual person. In fact, the internet and the whole world is catching up to your way of thinking now. Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, actually, and it's nice to have Jupiter sitting there talking to my nice little Aquarian Mercury as well. It gives it a fair amount of strength.
Very much, very much. You're right. It says that Mercury-Jupiter conjunction makes it a bit like, you have a forceful mind, the Mercury-Mars, the Mercury-Uranus aspect, which is also like an Aquarius theme. Very, very interesting chart, actually. What's your rising sign, do you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've actually had a few people tell me I should have been in broadcasting, but that's a different matter. I find myself working more and more towards eighth house issues nowadays around where my son is.
All the finances and all that? But...
Well, the issue is that I'm now dealing with a very sick wife and a sick mother, and they're both in need of constant care, so I've had to pretty much abandon my career to stay home and take care of them.
But your rising sign is what, Cancer, Leo, or what is it?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
What's your rising sign, do you know?
My rising sign is Leo.
Oh, it is Leo. That's what I was asking.
Yes, it is Leo. My time of birth is 2:47 p.m.
Oh, I see.
Which puts Leo
in the house, that's right.
Yeah.
So did your wife have any nerve-related problems, too?
Oh, boy. I'm sorry, could you do that again?
Did your wife have any nerve-related problems as well?
Oh, absolutely. You've hit the nail right on the head, right there. She's dealing with both not only nerve-related issues, but also autoimmune. She suffers seizures.
Yes, that's right. What is the specific name of the illness that she has, do you know?
The specific name of the condition is called Fragile X-Associated Tremor Ataxia Syndrome, and it attacks both the nervous system as well as the autoimmune system.
You know, one of the things which I would suggest immediately that you should give her really like a nice shiatsu massage, especially near the neck area.
Aha! Uh-huh.
That
would
really
probably
help, the whole parasympathetic nervous system goes along there. Mm-hmm. And what is her birth date?
Her birthday is July 20, 72, and she was born at 3:10 p.m.
1972 and 3:10 p.m. Is that a quick her rising sign is what? About, she's Scorpio rising or Sagittarius something or what?
She is Scorpio rising, yeah, that's right.
It's Scorpio, yeah.
And she has the, what you might call the nun's angle. She has Venus, Saturn, exactly conjunct.
Oh, yes, yes, it is conjunct in Gemini, that's right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I can see the chart. She has Mercury in Leo, and Mars in Leo, too.
Yes, yeah.
Actually, Federer is born with that Mercury in Leo. Obama is also born with that Mercury in Leo, actually.
It's always a great place to have it.
Poor thing, she must have so much dignity, you know, about her.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
You know, partly, yeah. Normally we find, you know, it's a... she's quite a reclusive type person also, but she has the... But when she speaks, there's certain... You see, the Venus-Saturn aspect is a bit abnormal, actually, especially for a woman. And not only that, it's also squared to Pluto. So there's a lot of Scorpio themes in her chart.
Yeah.
And so on the... It's almost like an antisocial aspect. On one side, she is very communicative with people and all that. And she has that Mercury in Leo, such a beautiful aspect. And Venus-Saturn actually... so when people are susceptible to any stress-related illnesses or being alone, for example... But even though you're also very independent and she's independent also, that part, but the last 3-4 years, Pluto touched off her Saturn and her Venus, everything, you know.
Yeah.
And she's actually completely redefining her whole attitude towards love, marriage, relationship, everything.
Yeah.
It's almost finishing the negative aspect, though, now. See, the next 2-3 weeks are a bit, are very stressful for her age group. Because Neptune is touching off Mars is touching off her Neptune. So she may not react very well to medicine and all that. And it's not a time to take, like, when you take major tests and all that. It does not, because the body's immune system is not right.
Right.
And the doctors don't take that into consideration.
No,
so what
they
happened
don't.
To
I
this,
mean,
by the way, this
month?
Maybe you can send me by email, you know, her information also, and your birth. I'd love to do some research on that also.
Yeah. I'd really appreciate that, absolutely. I'd love to do that. She's had to completely redefine who she is over the past little while, simply because she's now wheelchair-bound, she's mute as well. The only way she can communicate is using a computer.
It's so difficult for her, yeah?
Yeah, and
Mercury and Leo is such a strong placement when they want to. But you see, that's where the humanitarian side of you comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
I don't know if you know this or not,
that they can, you know, like, for example, they were showing... on the CNN, even this monkey was able to feed itself just by thinking about it. You saw that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very
it's
much.
Absolutely amazing. That whole thing is coming up in the next 3-4 years. See, Neptune is touching off your Mercury exactly. It's going right over that Mercury for the next 3-4 years. It's an extremely spiritual aspect, but it's a very confusing aspect in a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
When everything which is real, for example, becomes very, it's like a fantasy, for example, everything is very surreal.
Mm-hmm.
But you do become much acutely sensitive to ocean, to water, to music. And she definitely has some music around her also.
Right.
But
well,
near the neck area,
true.
you should give a massage yourself.
Right. I'm also finding that she may have to be careful about whose advice she takes, or also misinterpreting information she might be getting from doctors and things like that. So I have to be very careful about that.
Yes,
for her,
especially the next 3-4 weeks. 3-4 weeks with the Mars-Neptune touch off. The Mars-Neptune is almost finished now in her chart, actually. So from last week, it must have been very difficult for her, yeah?
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. She felt like real crying the blues and the whole immune system was down.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going away now. You know, even though she may not be able to talk and all that, but I wonder if she gets irritated with you if you don't listen to her. Like, I'm wondering that Mercury and Leo aspect is still active like that.
Right.
Because when you have a point, you really have to agree with that first.
Yeah, I've been trying to be as patient as possible and acquiescing to just about everything she needs. I'm worried that I may be going a little too far that way, but...
But she's able to write and everything, right?
Pardon me?
She's able to write on the computer with no problem.
Yeah, well, type. She has one arm that she's able to type with, and she's actually very good with it. She has.
You know what I love to do is on Skype. You know, on Skype, my handle is Astro Trends.
Yeah.
You should take me in and have her type in it. I would love to speak to her on that.
Excellent.
Because her Mercury is at about my ninth house. It leads me to my mission in life. Like, these are the things which I really crave for, to understand the truth. That's the only reason I got into astrology. I lost my mother when I was born. And so I'm an engineer by profession, you know. But I really got into the thing to understand this aspect. And her Mercury in Leo, because I've seen that she's very, very intelligent. I would really like to understand the... And there's still... You should never, never give up hope, though. Otherwise, that's like denying the miracles of God.
Yeah, and that's a big issue right now, because she is beginning... I'm finding that her hope is waning, and she is looking for some sign, are things going to pick up or not? And frankly,
they will pick up. Only the last 10 days, but definitely she felt very, very much down.
Yes.
Especially today, with Moon going into Virgo, probably. So yesterday the Moon was in Virgo. Every time it goes into Virgo, it sets off a Neptune. So it becomes a cutie cell. What you have to do is, you have to, somehow, they, for example, that this astrologer, he loves your mind. Like, and her mind is very good. In fact, I think she can come up with these real brilliant aspects. When people have any nerve-related problems, I find it happens to people who are really, really exceptionally bright.
Mm-hmm.
So are you giving her any ginkgo biloba or anything like that also?
Well... Not lately. She's been not really in the mood for much. But it's a good idea.
Well, later on this year, Jupiter sets off her moon also. See, the moon is Scorpio side. That's why she gets these dark moods, sort of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, with the Venus-Saturn aspect, you know, where it's difficult for her to let go of herself. You need to be a bit more demonstrative in your love and affection and give her hugs more, even when she feels that she doesn't want it.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You don't do that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head there, too. Yeah. Yeah, that's something that will I'll definitely have to work at, because she can't really communicate it. All I ever see is tears every now and then.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is a little disconcerting to me, because I sometimes find it difficult to deal with.
Well, see, every time she's doing that, you should tell her a story of someone else so that she changes her self-pity into compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because tears are there, but for other people. Because she always used to love the underdog and those who want to help. What did she do before?
She was an accountant. Talk about perfect. With the Saturn Venus conjunct in the 8th house, she was an accountant.
Oh, I see. She was
very,
very
good at it.
Yes, yes.
Very good at dealing with other people's money.
Yeah. And she has this real intelligent leadership also she had, I guess, yeah?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Personally, I think she should have been an accounting teacher or a team coach. She was a manager, actually, for a large...
Yeah, definitely the management aspect, yeah. And she has
with the Leo right up at Midhaven is absolutely perfect for her in that area.
No, you're right. And she has Cancer and Leo right on top. And Cancer indicates a home. From time to time, even with the real estate, you should take her to an old church.
Mm-hmm.
Something which feels like a home. Any place of worship would bring the beggar and the king together. She really, really needs that, you know? Because the home life is very barren. Right from her early childhood, it must have been like that.
Mm-hmm.
See, wherever you have Cancer, that's where you find that emotional security. I know you may not be as... You're more spiritual than religious. But just to go there, because everybody is in a state of prayer. An old place of worship, this old stained glass, it does something to the soul, you know. She's got that Cancer in Leo.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my concerns as well is that...
Well, you have my email. It's stargaze@astrotrends.net. And my website is astrotrends.net. And do write to us also. And for all of you. And we will see you next Sunday.
Oh, yes.
And please give my regards to your wife also. And next Sunday again, at the same time, will be in the meantime. This is your astrologer, Hassan Jaffer. Wishing you all the best.
We'll be tuning in.
And good luck. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye then.
Okay. Bye-bye.